What if the key to a happier life isn't waiting in some distant adventure, but hidden within the walls of your own home? This realization struck Gretchen Rubin one ordinary Sunday evening while unloading the dishwasher. Despite being in her own kitchen with her family nearby, she felt a strange wave of prospective nostalgia, a homesickness for the present moment she was still living. This epiphany launched a 9-month experiment to transform her relationship with home. Unlike countless happiness guides promising dramatic transformations through exotic experiences, Rubin's approach is refreshingly accessible, finding greater joy exactly where you are with what you already have. Her project tackles one life area each month, creating a manageable framework for sustainable change rather than the short-lived enthusiasm of most self-improvement attempts. The foundation consists of 3 essential stages: preparation, identifying what brings joy or guilt, making concrete resolutions, and tracking them methodically. This approach acknowledges that happiness isn't entirely genetic, 30 to 50%, or circumstantial, 10 to 20%, but largely influenced by our conscious choices and deliberate actions. Why start a happiness project with possessions? Not because they matter most, but because they often block our view of what does. Controlling our stuff creates mental space for tackling deeper challenges, like marriage and parenthood. When engaged with possessions, they enliven us. When disengaged, they burden us. The goal isn't universal minimalism. People have different tolerance levels for stuff. The shrine concept transforms ordinary storage into celebrations of values, a shrine to family with cherished photos, a shrine to work with inspiring tools, a shrine to children's literature, organizing beloved books. December shifts focus to interior design of self rather than home. Rubin seeks what Bob Dylan called built-in happiness, emotional self-sufficiency independent of others' validation. This addresses a core tension. Happy people make people happy, but you can't make someone happy, and no one can make you happy. Her resolutions target internal obstacles to happiness. She identifies 3 types of happiness leeches: grouches, chronically negative, jerks, disrespectful, and slackers, who don't do their fair share. Dig Deep addresses her quick irritation with her children during tantrums, while Respond to the Spirit of a Gift transforms her reaction to unwanted presents. Recognizing willpower as limited, she employs external strategies like abstinence and convenience rather than depleting her reserves. If home is where we belong unconditionally, marriage forms its emotional core. After 16 years with Jamie, Rubin recognized they were in middle marriage, children at home, mid-career, homeownership, a stage she wanted to fully appreciate. Her approach centered on the truth: the only person I can change is myself. Rather than trying to fix Jamie, she focused on her own behavior. The kiss in the morning, kiss at night schedule creates meaningful intimacy through daily habits. Giving gold stars, celebrating accomplishments, thanking for chores, speaking positively about your spouse to others fosters appreciation. The positive argument technique counters our tendency toward criticism by deliberately arguing the opposite view, combating unconscious overclaiming where spouses overestimate their contributions. When Rubin confronted her driving fear by taking lessons, she discovered happiness sometimes comes from facing fears. By acting more loving, she created the loving atmosphere she desired. For November, Rubin focused on parenthood, recognizing she couldn't directly make her daughters happy, but could create conditions for happiness. Underreact to problems became a guiding principle. When Eliza spilled purple nail polish on the carpet, Rubin's calm reaction avoided pointless anger. Using humor, like creating a lighthearted rule against deliberate provocation, DP, transformed potential conflicts into connection. By engaging with her daughter's interests, from SpongeBob to pop music, Rubin found that feigned interest often becomes genuine. The Wednesday adventures with 11-year-old Eliza created precious one-on-one time. Despite guilt about using work hours, Rubin embraced these fleeting moments, guided by her truth: the days are long, but the years are short. Their outings ranged from tourist attractions to museum visits to simply staying home, discovering that sometimes home was adventure enough. The family's resolution to give warm greetings and farewells transformed daily transitions into moments of connection, creating the loving atmosphere children need to flourish. January brings focus to time with the theme word bigger, challenging Ruben to think expansively. She identifies three types of hurry: treadmill hurry, never stopping, to-do list hurry, racing through tasks, and put out the fires hurry, constant emergencies. Rather than slowing down, she seeks a deliberate pace that feels purposeful. Her resolution to control the cubicle in my pocket addresses smartphone addiction by establishing boundaries like no email after dinner and not carrying her phone around the apartment. Guard My Children's Free Time resists overscheduling, ensuring they have unstructured hours for creativity. Suffer for 15 Minutes tackles procrastination by committing to just 15 minutes of dreaded tasks, often breaking through initial resistance since starting is typically harder than continuing. Her desire for monthly adventures with Jamie reveals the challenge of balancing connection with reality. Despite understanding how novelty benefits relationships, Jamie's hesitation teaches her that adventures must feel like treats, not burdens, to enhance happiness. The final months expand the concept of home beyond apartment walls. February's body focus reveals happiness's physical dimension through engaging our senses, acknowledging others' connection attempts, creating simple celebrations, and jumping for joy, connecting us more deeply with immediate experience. March strengthens family bonds through both everyday rituals, expressing gratitude when entering home, and special efforts, discussing advanced directives, creating unbirthday celebrations, and collaborating meaningfully. April extends home to the neighborhood, becoming a tourist without leaving home by exploring local guidebooks, visiting new places, performing targeted acts of kindness, and engaging with meaningful causes. These expansions reveal that home isn't confined to our walls, but extends to how we inhabit our bodies, nurture relationships, and engage with communities. The project's most profound insight comes while walking home from the library. Now is now. Here is my treasure. Reflecting on Laura Ingalls Wilder's childhood observation that now is now and can never be a long time ago, Ruben realizes what the child Laura couldn't, that now eventually becomes long ago. This crystallizes her entire happiness project. Her home becomes serene and welcoming only when she brings that spirit to it herself. Ruben discovers that true happiness comes from embracing her authentic self, Be Gretchen, acknowledging both her interests and limitations. This self-knowledge has made her home more genuinely hers and created a happier atmosphere for her family. A paradox emerges. Happiness doesn't always feel happy. Though she dreads driving, she pushes herself to continue, finding satisfaction in conquering fear. Home is both a place and a state of mind we create through deliberate attention to our possessions, relationships, time, bodies, and neighborhoods. The ordinary moments contain the extraordinary treasure of our lives, if we notice them. As you cross your threshold today, what if you thought, "How happy I am, how grateful I am to be home"?